Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here. In the study of the sin nature as part of the genetic makeup of male-female population of the human race. Roman numeral 4, page 4 of our notes, deals with the mechanics of the perpetuation of the STA to all mankind, how it is passed down. First of all, proof that sin nature is located in the genetic code of the flesh. We see it in specific and other references in regards to this reality. People take issue with this. That's fine. People take issue with doctrine all the time. David said his conception, as we read this in first class actually, was marked by sin. And since sex in the divine institution of marriage is not a sin between husband and wife, he must be discussing the origin of the sin nature, the old sin nature. The Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." Our term for iniquity is ba'awan. Ba'awan is a complex word. Awan has a root meaning power. It is used of abuse of power and the subterfuge and treachery employed that brings oppression, injustice, and harm. That sounds like the sin nature, all right? Is a good synonym for the old sin nature, the sinful trend of Adam. And it continues the verse, in sin, our term for sin there is yet behet, my mother conceived me. And the conception looks to the first cell of his fleshly existence. Note the background of Psalm 51 is David's rebound psalm concerning Bathsheba, recognizing the influence behind his egregious act, sinful act. Two, we have constant references to the flesh and body as being the place of sin and lust. Paul in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me," that is, in my flesh. Also Romans 7:23-25. Some of these may be verses we've read already, but that's all right. I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and make me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. In my members, see. That's where it is located, through verse 25. Also, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, reflects upon the sin nature and its place of existence. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation view is eternal condemnation based on our position in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death reflecting upon the sin nature, what it brings upon us. And Christ is able to undo that law. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, verse 3. In other words, no one could fulfill the Mosaic law perfectly and otherwise in their lives except for one, that's Christ. God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The law itself can't bring salvation. It simply points to the fact that sin exists truly. In the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's where the sins were judged, literally in his body. Hence the connection to the body, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's like we get to ride on the coattails of his success, simply by getting in fellowship, applying doctrine in our lives. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. Again, flesh, technical for the sin nature in these verses, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You're in an absolute state experientially in your life. Either you're under the rulership of God, the Holy Spirit, or you're under the rulership of your sin nature. And however you choose to focus your thinking and actions on, that's the way it ends up. For the mindset on the flesh is death, that's temporal death, being out of fellowship. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And that's capacity for life to its maximum and harmony with God and fellowship. The RMA, things of this nature that doctrine brings to us. In verse 7, he gives a reason why the conflict, why the opposition, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, as I stated, I don't care how great their act, heroic act might be otherwise. If they're not in fellowship, it's just human good. That's all it is, human good. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. As God indwells each and every one of us, we don't have to operate that way. We can be pleasing to God. We can please God. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and it does, first class condition. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. The Spirit of Christ looks at God, the Holy Spirit, who is given to us through Christ's request. I will ask the Father, and he will send. And it has implication in regards to the human spirit too. Then verse 12, so then, brothers, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We don't have to follow the dictates of the sin nature. We're not obligated one bit. Whereas in our pre-salvation days, we were. We had no other choice. And also, Galatians 5:16, as it's referred to there, as lust of the flesh. But I say, here's your two alternatives. It's absolute, either in or out of fellowship. There's no running the fence here. No running the line. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. As long as you're in fellowship, you're not under your sin nature. Ephesians 2:3. We too all formerly lived in lust of our flesh, indulging desires of the flesh. No matter whether the trend was to amoral activity and evil in that sense, or whether it's simply following our own drumbeat philosophically of human viewpoint, etc. Colossians 2:11. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So circumcision here, while we understand its reality in the physical world of removing the unnecessary foreskin and the male phallus, it has a spiritual significance, symbolism, and that is isolation of the sin nature. And the circumcision of Christ looks at the fact that this worthless piece of flesh was removed at the point of salvation, and you can continue to employ the circumcision phase 2 through the rebound technique in this regards. Colossians 2:11, so unusual language. That was Colossians 2:11. 1 Peter 3:21. We'll be dealing with it in Genesis when we get to Abraham and his life. And corresponding to that, baptism now delivers you not the removal of dirt from the flesh, personal sin in life, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, a response to Bible doctrine through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our identification with water in the symbolism of baptism, there water symbolizes Bible doctrine, the baptism. 2 Peter 2, 10 and 18. So, again, dirt from the flesh. Whenever, before salvation, we were so filthy we needed a complete bath. That's what saving faith pictures. After that, is we go out and then we end up just getting dirt on us. We don't have to go in and have a complete bath again. We just remove the, wash our hands after working, etc. Remove the dirt in that respect. 2 Peter 2, 10, verse 10 and verse 18. Those running under the STA unbridled, especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, the sin nature is rebellious. Rebellious against God, and tends to be rebellious against authority structure in general. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Blaspheming by pronouncing certain things as being okay, such as homosexuality. The angels look at all that, and they recognize this is an abomination before God. Verse 18, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, those things that are worthless. Human viewpoint. They entice by fleshly desires. They, their message is designed to entice the sin nature. Certain false communicator types pronouncing liberties that are liberal in nature and against God's righteousness. They entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality. Sexual is often the platform of solicitation. Those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. They're one of their favorite targets are new believers. 1 John 2:16 confer that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. What physically stimulates your sin nature, your focus in life under your sin nature, and your pride of life is your accomplishments at the expense of Bible doctrine. that's the way you can paraphrase that phrase. Accomplishments at the expense of Bible doctrine. Your pride of life, and nothing that is worthy for your SG3 account. And is not from the Father, but is from the world. So, three, because the sin nature is passed down through procreation, we have the necessity of the virgin birth, which we will deal with later in the doctrine under Roman numeral 6, and then Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Where the sin nature exists, the law has actually has a, no positive really impact at all. That's why it's a curse to us, because we have the sin nature. All it does is condemn us. So, the Christ, because he was able to bypass the sin nature through the virgin birth, did not have a sin nature, and he was able to conform himself to the law perfectly, sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh. Likeness, not sinful, but in a true human body. But did not have the STA DNA in it, and as an offering for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. So for the fact that the STA is not in the soul, That's not where it resides. Since the soul comes by creation, and it is basically, God does not create imperfect beings or things. We dealt with that in regards to the soul in Genesis 1:27, where our verb bara created ex nihilo, compared the body that was formed in Genesis 2:7 out of the ground, out of the sophisticated what's called dust in the Bible, yatsar. So the SCA is not in the soul. The soul, if you will, is created neutral. But the first thing that happens to it, it gets cursed by association. That body that it gets plugged into puts it under eternal condemnation. Again, the importance of cursing by association. The doctrine of separation, good grief. That thing can, the doctrine of separation is so divisive. We don't have the time in life probably to explore every avenue, a division that there truly exists in regards to creation and God's plan. And there, as it applies in regards to the necessity with respect to the sin nature in the soul. So B, the mechanics of the perpetuation of the sin nature, the SCA. One, since the SCA originated with Adam at the fall and is in the flesh, Adam can perpetuate nothing better than himself. He can not produce anything. He's less than perfect, so he will never, ever, ever be able to produce anything perfect. Once you are less than perfect, absolute perfection is beyond grasp in that regard, in accomplishment. So he was imperfect. He had a sin nature. His body mutated. And whether they're the evolutionists want to make you think otherwise, mutation never produces anything of better quality and excellence of his preceding organism or whatever it was. It always something that is less than desirable, less healthy, things of that nature. It does not progress and advance the genus that's in view. It stymies it. It upsets it. And that's what happened to man at the fall. So too, when his trend became sinful, he acquired the sinful trend of Adam with his lust via genetic engineering. That through the very properties that existed in the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now became part of his DNA code. The woman also became contaminated with it. But the judgment centers on the man, and while the woman is also contaminated, she is simply a carrier of the gene. She is not the transmitter. He is that. That's three. This is passed on to his progeny in procreation. Four, the STA begins in each person when the 23 chromosomes of the male fertilize the 23 chromosomes of the female ovum. Five, so the genetic code in general and the STA genes in particular are found in the first cell and then spreads to all cells, 100 trillion, during gestation, during the forming of the fetus in the womb. Six, but the SCA manifests itself in the genes of the cells of the central nervous system, exposed through the brain computer, and has excellent opportunity to influence then the real you from birth, from the point of birth on. Genesis 6:5. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. That is the repercussions of possession of the sin nature. How pious people may appear otherwise, whatever verbiage they may throw out to distract you otherwise. People running under their sin nature are constantly cranking out evil thoughts. Genesis 8:21b. Under the concept of the context of Noah, and the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, verse 21a, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And that looks at the age of culpability, basically. And I'll never again destroy every living thing as I have done, regards to the judgment of the flood. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately, desperately sick. The heart looks at the sin nature manifest through the brain computer. Who can understand it? The sophistication of the FCA obviously is beyond measure, essentially, beyond comprehension in its totality. The FCA, the attempts of FCAs to try to cure the FCA will never happen. They'll never scientifically, medically, philosophically, psychologically ever understand it, truly. They may be able to cap it at certain levels, things of this nature. But to undo it, nah, forget it. Matthew 12, 34 and 35, only Jesus Christ can do that. Only God can do that. Verse 33 points to volition, free will. Christ doesn't sit there and try to sell people on the truth. He just basically says, here it is, now make up your mind. What's it going to be? See. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. The evidence of what you are in regard to your volition is seen in regards to your application or lack of it. Verse 34, his loving attitude towards the religious leaders of this time, the reversionist unbelievers, you brood of vipers. The last thing Jesus was a funny. He was so far removed from that, it's not even funny. You brood of vipers. See? You snakes in the grass, basically. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? You can't. Yeah, you're still in unbelief. You're in absolute rulership of your sin nature. You have no comprehension, truly, of Bible doctrine in its purest form and as so intended by God. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Sins of the tongue, obviously, apart from mental attitude sins, is probably your most predominant areas of sinning. And it reflects what we say, reflects what we are. So, hopefully. Obviously, you can fake people out by what you say. But how you think is generally expressed in your words. The good man out of his good treasure, verse 35, brings forth what is good. That's Bible doctrine. An evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. That's his human viewpoint. See. And these the religious leaders of Jesus' time constantly distorting doctrine, misinterpreting, and things of this nature. So, in Mark 7, 20 through 23. the fact that God the Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us. Hence, He lives within us. And we're told not to defile the Spirit. Our body is a temple in that sense. And of course, you have the gross misrepresentations of that verse. The concept. Jesus puts it in his proper context, verse 20. He was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles a man. It's not what you put into your body that defiles you. It's what comes out. And that's the expression of your sin nature in simple activity, whether it's human viewpoint, simply human viewpoint or amoral activity. So all these advocates of the evils of sins of drinking and smoking and other propaganda machines that have been passed down through our generations. That's what defiles. The propaganda itself is what defiles. See. We can point to people that live on this planet, complete races, families, over 100 years, and they smoked their whole life. Take that to the bank and smoke it. People in China. I've known people that have gone over there and studied them. Their health and things of that nature. Chiropractors. So, well, how come these people aren't all getting cancer and dying? Oh, well. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, so I don't care. I like cigars. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries. See. Verse 22, deeds, works of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Seven, so all men are sinners inherently due to genetic engineering. Eight, volition of the real you remains free then to respond to grace and upset the rule of the STA. Okay, C deals with the mechanics of spiritual death in conjunction with the sin nature. One, Adam voluntarily chose to sin and died as God said. He paid the consequences of death through his own freedom of choice. Two, he lost his human spirit and acquired a sinful trend, putting him in need of the new birth then, the necessary regeneration of the human spirit, because that's what he lost under spiritual death. Three, he passed on the sin nature to his children and thereby to all humanity via procreation. So four, so at physical conception, each person inherits his or her own STA, old sin nature, and becomes a living soul at birth via the imputation of the breath of life, the neshama, from God. Five, in addition to the inheriting of the sin nature and giving of life via the soul, man is born spiritually dead, Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in trespasses and sins, pointing to spiritual death. So six, spiritual death spreads to all men when Adam's original sin is imputed to the STA at the point of physical life. Romans 5, 12, and 13. Therefore, just as through one man, sin, that's the sin nature, entered into the world. And not only the STA, death through sin, the consequences of that sin and having a sin nature. And so death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, the Mosaic law, sin was in the world, but sin, Adam's original sin, is not imputed where there is no law. You can't impute his original sin of eating of the fruit because it's impossible for us to go eat that fruit. See, look at it that way. So, where there's no law, we can't be held accountable for that. So what can we be held accountable that's attributed to Adam's original sin? The sin nature. that he passed down to his progeny. And the principle is, where the sin nature exists, it becomes a target for God's judgment. Every place the soul is plugged in, sin nature's there, bam, judged, spiritually dead. Then also Genesis 2:17. So 7, the background to the imputation of Adam's original sin to the SCA is the fact that divine justice must judge all sinful conditions and sins at some point in the angelic conflict. 8, Adam's sin was judged, producing spiritual death. Dying, you will die. Genesis 2:17. 9, so all of Adam's posterity shares in his spiritual death from birth, and that involuntarily. Hence the passive nature of the literal snake getting cursed. Had no say, the snake didn't do anything. Well, we didn't really do anything per se either in regards to original disobedience, but we're still guilty and cursing by association. Romans 5:14a, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned voluntarily, in the likeness of Adam's offense. Verse 15b, for if, first class condition, and it's true, by the transgression of the one, Adam's original sin, the many, Adam's progeny, which equals mankind, died under spiritual death. Then Romans 5:17a, for if, first class condition, by the transgression of the one, Adam's original sin, death, spiritual death, reigned through the one. So all these things are teaching this principle. Then Romans 5:18a, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation. That's our term, kata krima, which means the penalty or spiritual death in view to all men. The result of condemnation to all men through one transgression. Romans 5:19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And there are people who still try to do an end about run around in regards to this doctrine. Can't buy the fact that we're guilty by association. That's not fair. You've done the same thing if you was in Adam's shoes. How much money can you come up? I'll bet the bank on it. See, that's what it shows to me. We would have not fared any better. And that really puts a premium on the person of Jesus Christ. 10, the principle here is imputation demands a home. Imputation simply means to reckon to one's account. So it's reckoned to our account, Adam's sin, even though we didn't personally do that sin. That's via the sin nature. Imputation demands a home, and the home, the target of Adam's original sin, is his SCA, producing spiritual death. Romans 5:13b, the sin is not imputed. Elogeo, a technical commercial term, to charge to an account. And confer Philemon 18, when there is no law. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. Philemon 18. The term used there, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. So that gives you the idea of that term, what means imputation. So 11, his one sin is charged to all men, producing universal spiritual death. Since God must judge all sinful conditions, all STAs or all sin natures. 12, the principle there is wherever the trend, Adam's sinful trend of Adam leads, his sin must follow. Thirteen, the justice of God has no choice but to impute the result, his original sin, to his cause, his trend, since God has to judge sin in the flesh, which he did in the person of Jesus Christ. 14, although Adam's original sin is involuntary to his progeny, it is logical, consistent, and just for God to condemn all flesh possessing the sin nature via imputation. 15, and Adam all die, 1 Corinthians 15:22. And we are all born in Adam, quote, via genetic engineering and imputation. The only exception to that is the person of Christ. So 16, the necessity to judge men at birth with spiritual death conversely stifled the giving of the human spirit by God. And hence we're born in the world dichotomous rather than trichotomous. We only are able to become trichotomous through faith in Christ and through the principle of regeneration of the human spirit. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, can you light us these things in Jesus' name? Amen.